We've been talking on this program about the ways the city has changed in the past decade. One of those ways that we've seen change is that while Toronto is one of the richest cities in the country, it now has the second highest rate of poverty among people who work. That's based on data from the 2016 census, analyzed in a new report for the Metcalf Foundation. John Stapleton is the lead author of the report. He is a Metcalf Innovation Fellow, and he's with me in studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Adriana Biemans is a program director with the Metcalf Foundation. She's also here to talk further about what's going on. And as I mentioned, who's not getting ahead? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
There are any number of ways that you could look at poverty in this region. Why focus on the working poor, John?
We focus on the working poor because they are people who are sometimes in deep poverty, sometimes they're in shallow poverty. And if we solve poverty, we have to deal with the working poor. If you had asked me when we first talked about the working poor, if you had asked me the question, if minimum wages double in the next 10 years, if child benefits more than double, if we have the lowest unemployment in the last 40 years and we put a new working income tax benefit in place and lowered the taxes for low-income people, and you asked me the question, would working poverty increase? I would have said, no, it won't increase at all, yet it increased by 27%.
And so all of those things have happened.
What's going on?
I mean, this is the third time that you've had a crack at this?
Absolutely.
We've talked extensively over the years about the conditions that would create that sort of scenario to unfold. What's going on? I mean, the fact that it's just happening, but what do you find most surprising beyond that?
Well, what's most surprising beyond that is the fact that we didn't talk 10 years ago about a gig economy. We didn't talk about side hustles. We talked about if you got a job, then you're on your way. Whereas now, if you get a job, you need to get another one and another one. And you're not going to be able to work full-time, full year, if you're at the bottom end of the economy in the service industry.
And this is a regional issue. It's not just a City of Toronto issue.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because as you're seeing, we could talk about how expensive life is in this city. What happens in terms of a ripple effect?
Well, it becomes a ripple effect because people who have those type of jobs in working poor population can't afford to live in downtown Toronto. They can't afford to live in a lot of places within the city south of Steeles. So they have to move away, further away, in order to be able to live and then commute into the city. So that's why we're seeing it growing outside of the city.
Adriana, what do you see going on here? The city's thriving. Take a look at what's going on. I mean, the economy is roaring. To John's point, unemployment is at a generational low, and yet the number of people who are working poor is still on the way up. How do you see this?
Well, I think it's extremely concerning, and that's one of the reasons why Metcalf Foundation really wanted to look at disaggregated data, because it's not just that working poor is increasing, it's that working poverty is racialized, that there are communities of color that are overrepresented in working poverty, and we see that the highest rates of working poverty are amongst the blacks community. And so part of that is we see working poverty moving northwards in the city, expanding up to the 905 and the other suburbs, and we also see that what were once entry-level jobs are now becoming dead-end jobs. And so people can't move out of poverty. And this idea that if you got a job that you would be able to move out of poverty isn't the case. And we have to understand the structural reasons behind that.
John, tell me more about what you learned about the racial makeup of the working poor.
Well, one of the things that really surprised me was that in the immigrant population, that we saw a lot of working poverty, and we would expect to see that. And then when we look at the next generation, the non-immigrant poverty, we see it going down. But what we saw in the black community was in fact that in the second and third generations that working poverty was going up. So it's really telling you a lot about stereotyping. It's telling you a lot about anti-black racism. It's telling you a lot about kids who are not finishing high school and people who are getting carded and getting records and then not being able to participate in the wider workforce in the way other ethnicities do and other colors.
Adriana, square this for us. Again, we pat ourselves on the back. We're one of the most diverse cities on the planet. The motto, diversity,
indeed,
our strength. It's on the city crest. So what's not happening?
Well, as in the report, as Dr. Hope and Dr. James helped us provide some context, we look at the structural factors that have happened in our institutions, how structural racism plays out both in our institutions and our labor market. We can see the impact that high suspension rates have had, streaming has had in the education system.
So just stop there. What are those impacts? If you talk about, again, people will use a phrase like structural racism. They'll mm-hmm. talk about the suspension rates. What does that actually mean in terms of increasing a rate of working poverty among specific communities?
For sure. Well, what we see is that working poverty is overrepresented amongst young people. It's overrepresented amongst those that have lower education attainment. So if you are not able to graduate high school, you're more likely to be in the working poor. If you have low success through the high school years, even if you have graduated, it's less likely to lead to stronger success in the labor market. And you compound that with the idea that if you are carded and you gain a criminal record, or if you end up doing time in jail, it's further compounded to be successful in the labor market. And so what we're seeing is a stratification in a color-coded labor market that racialized communities and black workers are huddled in one low end of low-wage work in our labor economy, and then they're overrepresented in that part of the labor market.
And does that help explain, to John's point, why it's second and third generation black Canadians that would be especially vulnerable to this?
That's the insight that we've learned from Dr. Hope and Dr. James. And a key part of the report is that we hope that further analysis and action and research happens out of this report. We think this is a really concerning issue for our workforce, for Toronto's workforce. We think this is one of the key 21st century workforce issues we need to be dealing with as a region. And so we hope that this report helps bring out further analysis and research, action and organizing, specifically looking at what disaggregated data can tell us.
So what would you want the findings of this report to do when it comes to shaping policy decisions?
Well, I think it's important that we look at policy decisions through a lens of anti-racism, and specifically like the City of Toronto has done on their action plan to confront anti-black racism and how that manifests itself in our social policy, in our labor market. But we also think about how we can improve the quality of low-wage work. People are stitching together 3-4 jobs. Job stability is an issue. You lose one job, you have to try to find another job. I mean, working poverty in the city is living on $22,000 a year. That's incredible that we have 9% of our working age population living on $21,000 a year.
What happens if this continues? If there's another report, you know, 5 years down the road, 3 years down the road, and you continue to see not a generation, but in some ways a swath of the society left behind?
It's just one of the biggest problems that we have. We're going to see more and more people who can't afford to live in the city. We're going to see jobs disappear in the city because people will not be able to get the people to be able to work. And
people talk
like
about
London.
The Manhattanization of
exactly.
Toronto when it comes to housing. Do you see that when it comes to employment as well?
Yeah, we see it when, especially in employment, because people are having to move further and further away from the city to do that. We also see it, for example, in the EI program, because you got employment insurance, which is now the toughest rules in all of Canada, because we have such a robust economy. But at the same time, you've got a lot of people paying into this program and they can't get anything out of it.
Adriana?
Well, I think we have to be looking at how the whole system works. So we have to improve low quality work. We have to invest in an EI system that works for low wage and precarious workers. And we have to talk about what are the underlying drivers that are affecting some of the most marginalized people if we want to be a prosperous economy. And we hope that people download the report and do further research and action to further understand this color-coded labor market.
But to John's point, the nature of work is changing. I mean, when you started this work, the gig economy didn't exist. The gig economy is everywhere now. People work on short-term contracts. People aren't employees. They are contractors, and they don't get the benefits that would come with an employee. That suggests that the news isn't going to get much better.
Well, I think we have to look at a range of strategies together. I mean, we are not helpless in this situation. We can define how we want work to be. We can invest in low-wage work and improve the quality. We can address the misclassification of workers as independent contractors. There are choices that we could make in how we want our labor market to work, and most importantly, how we want our labor market to work for racialized communities.
It's good to have you both here. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Stapleton, the author of a new report on the working poor. It was put out by the Metcalfe Foundation. Adriana Beemans is a program director at that foundation.